Okay, we're starting here on the top of Chavavim and Aleph, but just to remind ourselves that we left off with the Shita of Rabbah, trying to explain this issue of when you say Mutar the Mikzoto, Mutar Kulo, when is that the case? So Rabbah gave us guidelines, which were that Lo Nechluku Elo Ba'omer Ilu Aite Yodesh Abba Menechem Aite Omer Ploni Ploni Asurim. They only argue in a case where there's what's called Shinud Lashon. When he changes his Lashon, we saw that the Balei HaTosafot, the Ran, believed that it doesn't matter which direction he changes the language in. It doesn't matter if he starts out with Kulchem and changes to Zeh LaZeh, or he starts with Zeh LaZeh and then he ends up with Kulchem. If there's a Shinui Lashon, that is when we have a problem. Aval b'mamid dvarov, if you hold your ground, meaning that you keep the same language, but just add in Chutz Mi'abo, that would be agreed upon by everybody that is a sur, and that's not considered to be a change in the neder itself, and therefore the neder remains in place for everyone except his father. So that's what we left off with yesterday, that's Rabbo Shito. Over here we have Rova Amar. Rova argues on Rabbo. Question is, to what extent does he argue on Rabbo? We have Tkuli Amo, Kohechad Amar Yilito Yodeya Sha'abba Benichem. If I knew that my father was amongst you, Haydi Omer, Ploni Uploni Asurim, Vaba Mutar, had it been that case, and he changed his Lashon. We'll go with the Ran's interpretation first of all, which is that if he had known this information, he would have changed it to Ploni Uploni from Kulchem, then Kulam Mutarim. Then it's clear that the Neder is Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo, and everybody is Mutar. Lo Nechluku, they only argue, Elo ba'omer, ilo hayiti yodea she'abba b'neichem. I don't know, my father was amongst you. Hayiti omer kulchem asurim chutz me'abba. That I would have kept the language intact. Just said chutz me'abba. That's where their argument is. Beit Shammai sabri lo. Beit Shammai holds. Kirabi meyer damar tfos loshon rishon. That we go after the first thing that you say. Ubeit Hillel sabri lo kirabi yosi. And Beit Hillel holds like Rabbi Yosi. Damar. Now, here in our Gemara, it's Megemara Dvarav and Emnit Pas, but we know from the Gemara and Tmura that Rabbi Yossi's position is actually Af, Megemara Dvarav and Emnit Pas, that a person is held not only to the first statement he makes, but to the entirety of his statement. So now, according to the Ran, Rova agrees basically to the premise of Rabbo. He's just shifting the line, which is that Rabbo believes that if you have Shinui Lashon, then you have a machloket as to whether hutar miksato hutar kulo. If you have ma'amid lashon, if your language stays the same, everybody agrees that it's asur. Along comes Rova and says no. He pushes the line further on and says, when it's a shinui lashon, everybody agrees it's mutar. There's no argument there. When you are ma'amid your lashon, then it's actually subject to a machloket, and the machloket will impact on whether you think there was hutar miksato or not over here. The machloket is Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, which according to most Rishonim references, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi's machloket in the Gemara in Tmura. They also argue in a similar case in the Gemara Nazir. I think the Ritva focuses on that Gemara Nazir, but most Rishonim focus on that Gemara in Tmura, which is a person who says, Harezu Tmura Tola Utmura Shalomim, where he's trying to do something like an animal. And at first he makes a statement about an olah, and then he makes a statement about a shlamim. According to Rabbi Meir, only his first statement is meaningful. Tfos lashon rishon. The first thing that he says is binding, and therefore the animal is an olah, because he said olah first. He only said shlamim after the fact. He can't change it. Once it's an olah, he can't make it into a shlamim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer, af bigmar dvarav adam nitpas. That even with his closing words, a person is held. When a person can't say Ola and Shlamim simultaneously, so when he says Arizu Tmurat Ola Tmurat Shlamim, he meant to say that it's Tmurat an Ola and a Shlamim. So it's a half Ola, half a Shlamim, or whether he's Makdishit in that way, and he has to sell the animal and use half of it for an Ola, half of it for a Shlamim. So that is Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So the similar thing you would say over here, which is that Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Meir, which is Tfos Lashon Rishon. When the person made the statement of Kuchem Asurim, and then later on amends the statement to say Kulchem Asurim Chutz Mi'abba, we still say Tfos Lashon Rishon. Hold on to that first language, which means that the statement that you're making of Kulchem Asurim is the ikar of what you are saying. Chutz mi Abba is just a qualification afterwards. Whereas, by the case of Beit Hillel, who holds like Rabbi Yossi, after Gemara Dvarav, Adam Nitpas, that we have to look at the entirety of his statement. So when he says, Arei Kuchem Asurim Chutz mi Abba is a part of the totality of his statement. And therefore, he's changing what he said before. And that change means Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo, or the other way to look at it is that, therefore, his whole statement is a part of the neder, and if his whole statement is a part of the neder, then he's being matir, a part of the neder, because he's saying chutz mei abo by saying that. Now, it's obvious that the cases are not the same, because in the case of Olah Shlamim, they are contradictory statements. You can't be an Olah in the Shlamim. So therefore, you have to come up with a mechanism to deal with his statement. So Rabbi Yair comes up with the mechanism of Tzfos Lashon Rishon, whereas Rabbi Yossi says we try to execute on both of his statements. Over here, the second statement does not contradict the first statement, it just qualifies the first statement. All the Rishonim acknowledge that it's not exactly the same, but based on the fundamentals that they are giving us, we can try to extrapolate that principle here, which is Tzfos Lashon Rishon, would mean that the neder is really all about Kuchem Asurim. And therefore the qualifier afterwards doesn't change, it's not an exception to the neder. The core neder is Kuchem Asurim, and that remains intact. Now then, if you say, after Gmar Devarab Adam Nitpas, then you have to say that the entirety of his statement is his nether, and he has. He's taken someone out of the nether. He's taken someone out of the nether, then it's Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo, and that'll be the machloka between Beit Hillel and Ben Shammai. Alright, so that's the way that the Ran learns it, that simply, Robo is moving the line over. He agrees to Rabo's fundamental principles, which is, number one, if you are Shoneh Lashon, that you have an Akirat Nether, and if you have Mamid Dvarav, you would not have Kirat Neder. Question is, what's called Mamid Dvarav and what's called Mishaneh Lashono? That's the way that the Ran learns it. On the other hand, the Rosh over here says that Rava is completely different than Rabo. He disagrees with this whole idea of Mamid Lashon and Mishaneh Lashon. Rather, Rava focuses on the final statement of the individual. And that is, it all depends on Bishat Chazara. At the time that he retracts his original statement, what he says. And therefore, Rava says over here, if when he comes to retract his statement, he says, had I known about this, I would have said, ploni u ploni asurim ba'abo mutar, then everything is mutar, because that type of language is a hutar miksato, hutar michlalo type of language. Because by segregating each individual then, you are saying that each individual is a part of this nether, each one I'm taking the nether about, and then I'm trying to slice off one person from the nether. On the other hand, if you use the lashon of kuchem asurim chutz mi abba in the retraction, then that's where they argue about that kuchem asurim chutz mi abba. Is that a retraction, or is that not a retraction? And their argument is basically about this chutz mi abba. Is chutz mi abba inside the nether or outside the nether? And therefore, is it deemed to be a retraction or not? But the Rosh sees a fundamental difference between the position of Rabba and Rava. That doesn't matter how you started the nether, according to Rava. According to Rava, it only matters what the end game is here in the nether. Doesn't matter if you changed your Lashon. Doesn't matter if you upheld your Lashon. Just a question of what you said when you found out the information about the father. If you found out the information and said, then I would have segregated by person, that unwinds the neder completely. If you would have said, kuchem asurim chutz mi abba, then you have what to debate about whether that unwinds the neder. How you started the neder, irrelevant, according to Rabba. So that's the difference between the Rosh and the Ran. The Ran just sees this as an extension of Rabba, just shifting the line over, whereas the Rosh sees the Rabba as being a totally new view of what's going on in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, etave rav papa le Rabba. So Rav Papa challenges Rav's position. Ketzad amar Rabbi Akiva, neder shehutar miksato hutar kulo. What is the situation, the circumstance in which Rabbi Akiva made a statement that if you unwind a portion of a neder, the entire neder is unwound? Konam she'eni ne'aneh l'kuchem. So if he says, I take a neder that I will not get hanah from all of you, hutar achad mehem, hutar kulam. If you release one of them, then all of them are released. She'eni ne'aneh lo lezeh velo lezeh, or she'eni ne'aneh lezeh velezeh. You just have to keep a consistent language. Hutara rishon. If you are matir the first one, hutru kulam. then all of them are mutarim. Hutar acharon, if the last one is released, acharon mutar, bikulan asurim. Then the last one is mutar, and all of them are asurim. So you have three cases here in this Mishnah that we quote from later on, which is important because of the next statement of the Gemara, which the Gemara is going to reference a Reisha and a Seifa. And in referencing the Reisha and the Seifa, it's not clear what they're referring to in terms of Reisha and Seifa. The first statement of the quote that we brought for Rabbi Kiva is, Shekonam shanin el kuchem, hutar achad mehem hutar kulam. So call that first case. Second case is, Sheini ne'ane lo lezeh, velo lezeh, or lezeh velezeh, hutar rishon, hutar kulam. That's the second case. Hutar acharon, in a case, this is the third case. If you release the last one, then acharon mutar kulano surim. So you have three cases over here that are brought down. And now the Gemara is going to make a statement about the Reisha and the Seifa, and it's unclear what the Gemara means in terms of Reisha and Seifa. Vishlama barabba. According to Rabba, we can make sense of this. Mukim la the Reisha, damar zeleze, v'seifa damar lukuchem. So now, the way that the Ran explains this is that Reisha and Seifa, there are three cases here, so how do you have a Reisha and a Seifa? You could have a Reisha mitziyota and a Seifa, but the Gemara doesn't acknowledge any mitziyata. Gemara only acknowledges that there's a Reisha and a Seifa. So the Ran claims that when the Gemara over here said, Bishlam al Rabba, is Mukim al Reisha, Damar Zelazeh, Ubeseif Damar Lukuchem, he is referencing the Reisha is the first two cases. Seifa is the last case. And what the Gemara is saying here is, Bishlam al Rabba, Mukim al Reisha. The Reisha being the first two cases, Damar Zelazeh. So if you look at the statement over here, the way the Ran reads it is, in the first case where he says, Konam Shani Nene Lekuchem, Hutar Achad Mehem Hutar Kulam, is in a case where at first he took a neder that all of you are Asurim, then he discovers that his brother, his father are amongst these people, and now he changes his neder to say, Lezeh Lezeh. So now he did a Shinui Lashon. According to Rabbo, if you have a Shinui Lashon, Hutru Kulam. The next case, which is, Sheini Nene Lo Lezeh Velo Lezeh, and then he finds out his father's there, he changes it to Kuchem Chutz Mi'aba. Also a Shinui Lashon. Therefore, Hutara Rishon Hutro Kulam. If you take one of them out, meaning his father, then all of them are released. So the way the Ran is explaining it is that the first two cases are cases of Shinui Lashon, which according to Rabbah, Shinui Lashon releases everyone. The last case, which is Hutara Acharon, Acharon Mutar, Vikulan Asurim. In the last case, the last one is mutar and everybody else is asurim. That's a case where he started out saying kuchem, and he continued to say kuchem, but just added on chutz mi'abo. So acharon being there, abo, as opposed to the first case where rishon meant abo. So here he has a little problem in terms of consistency of language, but that's the way the Ran's going to explain it. In order to match up with Rabba's position, the first two cases are cases of shini lashon, and that's why the neder falls apart. The last case is a case of Mamid Lishono, where he keeps the Lashon intact. He says, Kuchem, Chutz Mi'abo, and that's why it stays intact, and that's why only his father is Mutar, everybody else is Asur. On the other hand, for the Rosh, who says it's all about what you say at the end, has nothing to do with whether you change your language or not, in Rabba's statement, then for Rabba, how is he going to explain this? So what he says, because it's going to impact on Rabba later on, what he says is Reisha and Seifa are the first two cases of the Mishnah quoted. Reisha are case number one. It's a case where he says Kuchem Asurim, where he says Kuchem Asurim. The Seifa case is a case where he says Lezeh. What about the third case, where we said if he matched the Achron is Mutar, nobody else? We're not addressing that right now. The Reisha and the Seifa are the first two cases of the Mishnah. And therefore he's going to explain the first case as a case where he started out with saying Kuchem Asurim, and then he switches to Lezeh Ulezeh. So when he does that, he has now a Shinui Lashon, and that's why everybody is Mutarim. The Seifa is a case where he started out with Zeh Lezeh, and then he changed to Kuchem. And so in both cases, he's doing a Shinui Lashon, and the Shinui Lashon ends up for Rabbah, meaning that Kuchem Mutarim. So the Rosh on this way reads easier, because when the Gemara says Reisha is a case of zelazed. That's the opposite of the language used in the first case of the Mishnah. And then when he says sefer damar kuchem, that's the opposite of the second case that we quoted, which we said zelazed. Now it's kuchem, and so that reads a little easier for the Rosh in terms of why. Now we don't address the third case, which the Gemara will get to later. Ela l'didcha. But Rav Papa says, but according to you, Rava, Bishlama Resha Mukimla Damar Lukuchem, Ela Seifa Damar Zelaze, Rabbi Akivahi, Amai Plige Rabbonon Ale. Why would the Rabbonon argue in that case? Vahamart, Divriakol Mutar. Didn't you tell us that everyone says that it's Mutar in that case? So now, let's go according to each of the Shitot. According to the Ran, the Resha that we're referring to over here are the first two cases. In the first two cases, we said that Rabbo thinks that Kulam Mutarim is because of a Shinui Lashon, according to the Ran. Therefore now, when Rava comes along, he says, Eldidcha, Bishlam al Resha, the first case. And now what the Ran says is the word Resha here means something different. Resha means literally the first case in the Mishnah now, not the first two cases. So this is the deficit in the Ran's Pshat, which is the word Resha and Seifa mean different things. Resha and Seifa, where we talk in Rabba's position, means something different than when you're saying it in Rabba's position. And that's definitely the weakness in the Ran's Pshat. He says, Bishlama Resha Damar Lekulchem, in a case where he says Lekulchem, and he continues to say Kulchem Chutz Mi'Abba. That's why it's Rabbi Akiva's Shita, because Rabbi Akiva agrees with Beit Hillel, and as the Ran said in the Shita of Rabba, that's the Beit Hillel Shita that we say Af Gmar Dvarav Adam Nitpas. And even a case where you said Kulchem Chutz Mi'Abba after you had said Kulchem, that's still considered to be Hutar Miksato Hutar Kulo. So according to Beit Hillel, it would be a different Lashon. And that's why this is solely Rabbi Akiva's position. Because Beit Shammai or the Rabbanon who argue on Rabbi Akiva would disagree with this position. Because all you did was switch from Kulchem to Kulchem Chutz Mi'Abba. But the second case that we quoted, which is a case of Zeh L'Zeh V'Zeh, and then over there you switch to Kulchem, then that's a Shinui Lashon. Well, if you have a Shinui Lashon, then not only does Rabbi Akiva say that it's not a Neder and everybody's free, even the Rabbonon agree, or even Beit Shammai agrees according to you, Rava. So what can you say in that second case? Now you can't say Zeh L'Zeh V'Zeh Chutz Mi'Abba because that's not the Lashon. So you can't say that they're arguing about that position that Rava says where the argument is. It's clear if you said lezeh lezeh, the only way to have kulam mutarim is to switch it to kulchem. A switch of lashon? Everybody agrees then that it's problematic. Now the reason that the Ran says the interpretation of Resha and Seif are different for Rava and Rava, he says is because we're compelled to say that. According to Rava's position, there's two different cases. There's a case of shinui lashon, and it's a case of Amid Dvarav. So in that case, why does it matter which way the Shinui Lashon goes? It only matters whether you're Amid Dvarav or Shinui Lashon. Therefore, the first two cases, we'll talk about Shinui Lashon, so that's why they're grouped together. And the Sefer, the last case, is a case where Amid Dvarav. On the other hand, for Rova, who says that not only is Shinui Lashon different, but even when Amid Dvarav, there are nuances within Amid Dvarav. So over there it makes sense to then segregate the Resha and say that the first case in the Resha is talking about a case of Mamid Dvarav with the Shinui of Chutz Mi'Abba, and the second case is talking about Shinui Lashon Legamrei. Over there you can make such a distinction within the position of Rava. Because for Rava, the first two cases are the exact same case. They're just the Shinui Lashon flipped one way or the other way. And therefore he groups them together as the Resha. And then the Seifa is the last case in the Mishnah, which is slightly different, where he kept his Lashon intact. According to Rabba, it's a binary issue. It's either Mishneh Lashono or Mamid Lashono. Therefore, you have a Resha that combines two cases of Mishneh Lashono and a Seifa, which talks about Mamid Lashono. But according to Rabba, where you cannot make the Resha and the Mitziyota case the same case, they have to be actually different categories. Therefore, one of them is Mishneh Lashono, one of them is Mamid Lashono. And based on that, Gemara now calls that Resha and Seifa for Rova. So the Ran goes into great lengths to explain why he thinks that Resha and Seifa mean different things according to Rova and Rabba, mainly because of their positions. According to Rabba, there are only two main categories. There's a category of Shinui Lashon, there's a category of Mamid Lashono. According to Rova, there are actually three categories. There's a category of Shinui Lashon, the Gamrei. there's a category of Shinu Lashon B'miktat, and then there's a category of Mamid Dvarav. So over there, he has the ability to divide up into three different categories, and there for him, the meaning Reishon Seif will be different than for Rabbah. That's the way that the Ran would learn the problem here, is that according to Rova, why is there only Rabbi Akiva's Shita in the second case? When he switched from Zelezeh to Kulchem, Chutz Mi'Abba, that's a Shinu Lashon, and even the Rabbanon, or even Beit Shammai, according to Rava, would agree. That's the way the Ran reads it. And the Ran says, the truth is, they could have asked him from the Sefer case as well as the Acharon case. Just, they already had the question from the Mitziyata case, which is now termed as Sefer in the position of Rava, and therefore they went with that question, because that was sufficient to get them to the point where they got the answer. According to the Rosh, who said that according to Rava, the Reish and Sefer are the first two cases over here. Then, in the Reisha case, we say, Bishlama Reisha Mukimla, you can establish the case there, Damar Le Kulchem, that he said, Kulchem Chutz Me'Abba. Kulchem Chutz Me'Abba, that's the machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, according to Rova's interpretation, because he used the word Kulchem. Remember, according to the Rosh, it doesn't matter what you started with, it matters what you ended with. So if you end with Kulchem Chutz Me'Abba, then I have a machloket, and that's why it's Rabbi Akiva's position. On the other hand, the Sefer case, which is the second case, where he ended with zeh lezeh lezeh, what does it make a difference than whether it's Rabbi Akiva or the Rabbanan? Everybody agrees in the case when you use the Lashon zeh lezeh lezeh afterwards. If that's your final Lashon, then it's hutar miktzato, hutar kulo. And therefore, according to the Rosh, that's the question that's been posed against Rav over here, which is that second case where the guy ends up saying zeh lezeh lezeh, why are you saying that's Rabbi Akiva's position? That should be equally the Rabbanan's position. So here you have the question according to the Ran and the question according to the Rosh about how does Rava explain these cases over here that are found by Rabbi Akiva. According to the Ran, we're focused on all three cases. In the end, the question on Rava, again, is from the second case where he did a Shinui Lashon. Why is that unique to Rabbi Akiva? According to the Rosh, we only focus on the first two cases, but the latter of those first two cases is a case where he ends with Zele Zele Zeh, which according to the Rosh, in the Shita of Rava, why are we saying that it's only in the Shita of Rabbi Akiva? And therefore, everybody's mutar. Even according to the Chachamim, it would be everybody is mutar. So then, it says, Amalei Rava. So Rava responds to Rav Papa. Says, Ula Rabo, l'Rav Akiva minecha seifa. Wait a minute, according to Rava, is the seifa so easy to explain? The seifa, my ma'ukimla. What did you establish the seifa as a case? Damar l'kuchem. Hey, din, who, Rishon? Behedin hu acharon. In your interpretation, and this is let's say the Ran the Shitato, according to the Ran the Shitato, you have a case in the Seifa and the Reisha. Remember that we explained Rabba to say that the Reisha cases are the first two cases of Rabbi Akiva, a case we have Shinui Lashon. And the final case is a case where it's Mamid Dvarav. The only problem is you lose the Lashon of Rishon and Acharon. What is the relevance of Rishon and Acharon? The only relevance over here is Abba. Is it Kulchem Chutz Me'Abba? That should be the last case. And the case beforehand is a case where he started out with Zele Zele Zeh and ended up with Kulchem Chutz Me'Abba. So you're telling me in one case we call Chutz Me'Abba the Rishon, and one case we call Chutz Me'Abba the Acharon. What is the relevance of calling one the Rishon and one the Acharon? Why does that make any sense? And so Rava is challenging Rabba's explanation here. Okay, you made sense out of it within the Shita of Rava, or of Rabba. You made sense out of this picture, but making out of sense of the picture doesn't read well into the cases that are there. You have these words, Rishon and Achron, and you're just saying, oh, that all means Chutz Me'Abba. Why? Why does that mean Chutz Me'Abba? What's the relevance of Rishon and Achron in these cases, according to you? So even Rabba's explanation in this case is not so easy. And according to the Rosh, you would say the same thing, which is that even in the cases where you explain Rabba, for instance, in that second case where you say it's a case, in the case for Rabba, where in both instances it was a case of Shinui Lashon, and that's why Rabba says it's okay, what's the meaning of the word Rishon? Rishon has no meaning. Now, okay, there's an Acharon afterwards, but either way, they don't have any meaning, these words. Ela Reisha Damar L'Kulchem. The case of the Reisha is a case where they said Kulchem. Seifa kakon shetla'an zeva zeh, v'amar ploni keploni uploni keploni. What you have here is a difference completely in the way that the neder was put into effect. Reisha now means the first case. In the first case, he said kulchem. And then afterwards, he reverses it and says, Kuchem chutz mi'abba. According to Rava, the explanation will be, in the first sentence, I said Kuchem. Then he changes it to Kuchem chutz mi'abba. That is, Mishana lishono, according to Rava, only according to Beit Hillel or Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, muhutar miksato hutar kulo. According to Rabba, the first case will be a case of Shinui Lashon. Case where he started out with Kuchem, and then he ended up with the Zelazep. And that's how you explain the first case, and that's why Hutar Muksato, Hutar Kulo. According to the Rosh, the fact that you ended off with Kuchem Chutz Mi'abba, that brings you to the Machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And that's why Rova says, this is according to Rabbi Akiva or Beit Hillel that says that that's the case. Then, according to Rabba, again, it'll be a case of Shinui Lashon, according to the Sheet of the Rosh. The latter two cases are a neder that's taken in a different form. Instead of saying, Konam l'kuchem, or Konam l'zeh, u'l'zeh, u'l'zeh, he is matpis in a daisy chain. He creates a daisy chain of hatpasa, which is that he makes the first one a surbana, and then he says, number two is like number one, number three is like number two, number four is like number three. So he daisy chains down the Isra now being by matpis, each one of them with the next one. Therefore, in a case where he's matir the Rishon, all of them are mutarim. Because if he releases the first one, the daisy chain then releases everybody afterwards. On the other hand, if he's matir the acharon, then it only has bearing for the acharon, has no bearing on the other parties here, because he was the last one in the hatpasa chain. So if you release him, he doesn't affect all the parties beforehand. And then your question, Dekanami, Titania. Hutara emtza'i, what happens if you release the guy in the middle? Heimenu ulamata mutarim, from him downwards are mutar, meaning from him onwards everybody would mutar, because it's a daisy chain. So anybody beyond him, their hatpasa is meaningless, because you release that individual, everybody after him is released. Heimenu ulamala asurim, anybody above him in the chain remains asur, because it doesn't affect them. Here it's, every neder is an independent neder, but every nether also relies on the previous nether, which is each person is being oser ba'na'ah individually, but being doing it through a hakpasa to the previous individual. So by doing that, he creates this daisy chain where if you release the first, you release everyone. You release the last, you affect nobody. If you release in the middle, then anyone beyond him is released. Everybody before him is not released. The question of why he's releasing this person, either there is something about this person that he's releasing, or, in this case, he's releasing the individual because it's his father, he discovered it's his father later. Whatever the reason is, he's releasing one individual. Where in the chain that individual is makes a difference to the other parties. But because each one is an independent neder, we're not talking about hutar miksato, hutar kulo. That's not the situation that we're discussing in that latter half. It's not about hutar miksato, hutar kulo, but rather about this daisy chain effect. And therefore, there's hutar miksato, hutar kulo. Now, exactly why that's brought an example for Rabbi Akiva Shita, it's not exactly Rabbi Akiva Shita anymore. Because Rabbi Akiva Shita is that hutar miksata neder, then the total neder gets unwound. Over here, that's not really the reason. The reason is that you're being at peace. Now, optically, it looks similar. And maybe that's why they're bringing it under the words of Rabbi Akiva, or you have to say that's also according to everyone, not just Rabbi Akiva's statement. Alright, so now we answer the first question that was posited against Rova. The next question, Eitvei Rav Adar Bar Abba the Rova. Now Rav Adar Bar Abba asks on Rova. The problem with the question is that the question is actually stronger against Rabba than it is against Rova. So that's why there's some argument in the Girsot, as the Lashon here. Some change it to read Eitvei Rav Adar Bar Abba the Rabba, because that's really who the question is against. Others just simply say Eitvei, and they bring the question without directing the question to any individual. Or as the Ran says over here, the question is on Rava and on Rabba. So he just started out with the question on Rava, but Kol Shekain that it's a problem for Rabba, and we'll explain why it is an issue for Rava as well. Which is, Kunam Batzal Shani Toem. Says that I take an Isra Ana that I will not taste, I will not eat any more onions. She Batzal Ra Lalev. Because onions are bad for your heart. So he thinks that onions are bad for the heart, therefore he takes a nether not to eat onions anymore. Amru lo, v'lo a kufri yafel alev. Isn't kufri good for the heart? Hutar be kufri. Then he's released from kufri. V'lo be kufri b'var hutar b'chol ha-bitzalim. Not only in kufri is he released, but he's released in all onions. Now what the kufri is, is subject to machloket. Rashi says it's a location. It's a place. An onion from a certain location is called a kufri. And the Rosh says that this kufri is a batzal hagadol, shnit bashel kol tarcho. It's a large onion that was cooked fully. That's your feather leaf. Others say that it's a specific species of onion. And still others say that it's from the word kfar. It's the village onions versus the city onions. So whatever the difference is, there is some unique property to this kufri that makes it that it would not be included under his neder. Because his neder originally included all onions. Then all of a sudden he gets information that this onion is not under the same category of bad for the heart. And now he's released from that onion. So now when he's released from that onion, not only does it unwind that onion, it unwinds the entire neder, the gamre. So now, myself, b'yitir Rabbi Meir b'chol b'tzalim. There was actually a case like this, and Rabbi Meir released him from all b'tzalim. My love, what is the scenario here? Damar, ilu hayiti yodea, shakufri yafel lelev, hayiti omer. Had I known that the kufri was good for the heart, I would have said, kol ha-bitzalim asurim, kufri mutar. All the bitzalim are asur, but kufri is mutar. That's how I would have phrased it. This is the question of the Gemara. Question of the Gemara is, now I have a scenario in which, if I say kulchem, and then I switch it to kulchem chutz mi'aba, what's the story? So that's subject to machloket Rava and Rabba as we saw before. What exactly happens over there? Now, kulchem chutz mi'aba, according to Rabba, is mamid lishono. According to Rabba, that means you didn't change your language at all, and everyone agrees that it's asur. So the question on Rabba is, who is Rabbi Meir holding like? I mean, that's why it's a much stronger question against Rabba, which is, according to Rabba, you have nobody who says, b'mamid dvarav, that you have a heter of the neder here, hutar miksato, hutar kulo. Everyone agrees, b'mamid dvarav. When you switch from kuchem to kuchem chutz, that doesn't mean anything, and there's no release. Who is Rabbi Meir holding like? He's not like Beit Hillel, he's not like Beit Shammai, he's not like Rabbi Kiva, he's not like the Rabbana, he's like nobody. That's the question against Rabba. What's the question against Rava? According to Rava, this seems perfect. Here I have a case where it's Kuchem, he switches to Kuchem Chutz, and we say, Uhutar Kulo. That's exactly Beit Hillel's Shita in Rava's explanation. That's what Beit Hillel would say, and that's what Rabbi Akiva would say. According to Rava, it works out well. Rabbi Meir is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Meir is subscribing to his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva's position. It works out terrifically. So why is there a question on Rava at all? That's what made people amend this question here, because according to Rava, it actually works out very nicely. The Ran leaves the gears intact and says, this is the question against Rava. Which is, remember, Beit Shammai, according to Rava, who did they hold like? Why did they say when you switch from Kuchem to Kuchem Chutz Mi'aba, why did they say that that's considered to be the same neder? Because Tfos Lashon Rishon. Whose Shita is Tfos Lashon Rishon? Rabbi Meir. So Beit Shammai's position is premised on Rabbi Meir's position. So that's the question over here. If Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir must hold like Beit Shammai. So if Rabbi Meir holds like Beit Shammai, then how does Rabbi Meir come to this conclusion over here? If switching from Kuchem to Kuchem Chutz Mi'aba is Matirat Kulam. According to Beit Shammai, Lishpi Rova, that's not the case. What's the easy answer to that question? The easy answer to that question is, Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold like Beit Shammai. That's the easy answer to the problem over here. And the Ran says, Eino Chanami. You could have answered in that way. You could have said that, but the Gemara wanted to answer it in a better way and to deal with the whole situation. And therefore the answer of the Gemara is that, no, you got the case wrong. And by doing that, now it opens up or answers the question both for Rabba and for Rova. It answers both of those questions, which is low. That's not the scenario. The other, Beomer, ilu hayiti yodea shakufri yafle lelev, hayiti omer, batzal ploni uploni asurim, bekufri mutar. So now, once you've done that, you got a shinui lashon now. Originally he said, all batzal is asur. Now he's switching to, no, I would have said this and this and this type are asurim, and this one is mutar. So that's the case of switching from kuchem to ploni uploni uploni. So what is that? It's called Shinui Lashon. So according to Rabba, Shinui Lashon, according to Beit Hillel, and according to Rabbi Akiva, are Mutarim, Kulam. So now Rabbi Meir is either subscribing to Rabbi Akiva's Shita's Rabbi, or Rabbi Meir is subscribing to Beit Hillel's Shita. Either way, that works out well for Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, for Rava, Once you have this case of Shinui Lashon, then everybody agrees that it's mutar. Now Rabbi Meir could be sober l'kuli alma. He could hold like Rabbi Kiva, he could hold like the Rabbon, he could hold like Beit Hillel, he could hold Beit Shammai, because you have a Shinui Lashon over here. Or, according to the Rosh, the question over here started out with he ended. Doesn't matter again what he said in the beginning, according to the Rosh. In the first scenario, what we thought originally was he ended with Kuchem Asurim Chut, and now he switches to Lashon, Aploni, Aploni, Aploni. So again, according to the Rosh, that would mean that l'kuli alma, according to Rava, it's mutar. Therefore, Rabbi Meir, Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, he's Aliba de Rabbi Akiva according to Rabbo, Valiba de Rabbanon also according to Rova. So that's how we'll solve the problem. So now, next question. Eitve, Ravino the Rova. Rabbi Natan Omer, Yesh Neder Shemiksato Mutar, Umiksato Asur. We have a Neder where a portion of it will become Mutar, and a portion of it will remain Asur. Ketzad, what's the case here? Nadar mina kalkala. He took a neder from the basket. Vayu bab no tshuach. And in the basket were this certain type of beno tshuach, which are actually beno tsheva. There are a certain type of fancy fig that is found in the basket. Vamar ilayiti yodeash beno tshuach betocho lo aniti noder. So in that case, I would not have taken the neder. So now, what's the outcome of his change here? Hakalkala asura, bnot shuach mutarot. Then the basket remains asura. The bnot shuach are the exception because he was matir. He's basically saying, I didn't want the nether because of the bnot shuach. Ad sheba Rabbi Akiva vili made. Until Rabbi Akiva came along and taught, nether shutar miksato, hutar kulo. Then a case where you unwind a portion of the entire nether is unwound. So that means that Rabbi Kiva believes the entire basket would be mutar. At first, they thought, like the Rabbonon, that you could bifurcate the neder and say the Bnot Shuach are accepted from the neder, the remaining dates are asurim. Whereas Rabbi Kiva says, no, if you eliminate a portion of the neder, then the whole neder is unwound. My love, what is the scenario here? Damar, ila iti yodea shebnot shuach betocha. Had I known there were Bnot Shuach in the basket, ayiti omer, Teinim shchorot ulevanot asurot. He would have specified the black and white ones are asurot. Benot shuach mutarot. They are mutar. So what's that the case of? That's the case of switching from kuchem to a case of switching to ploni uploni uploni, enumerating each thing individually. So that's a switch. It's not a case of switching from kuchem to kuchem chutz mei. It's a shinui lashon completely here. So now Rabbi Akiva he upligi rabbanon. And it's Rabbi Akiva's position and not the Rabbanan's position. That works well according to Rabba. Rabba says when you have a Shinui Lashon, that is Machloket Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. So if you talk that this case is a case of Shinui Lashon, then it works out well, because now you have Machloket Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan here in this case, just like Rabba would have expected, in this case of the Tosefta, just like you would expect it from Rabba's interpretation of our Mishnah. On the other hand, for Rava, it's a problem. For Rava, a Shinui Lashon is Mutar L'Kulei Alma. So if Shinui Lashon is Mutar L'Kulei Alma, then why is this Ad Sheba Rabbi Akiva? Why didn't the Rabbanan also say, here you have a Shinui Lashon, you started out with Kuchem, and now you end up with Zeh L'Zeh L'Zeh. So why isn't that called a Shinui Lashon? And everybody would agree in that instance that it's Mutaret, according to the Rosh. Because you ended off with Zeh L'Zeh L'Zeh, everybody agrees that they are Mutarot. So why over there are you saying it's Machloket Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim? That's the question against Rava. Gemara's answer is obviously what? No, that's not the scenario. No. Vomer, ilu hayiti yodea shebenot shuach bitocha. Had I known there benot shuach in it, hayiti omer, kol hakalkala asura, ubenot shuach mutarot. So he switches, no, it's a case of saying kuchem, and then a case of saying kuchem chutz, which is, according to Rava, that's the exact case where Beit Hillel and Shabbat Shammai argue, and Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim argue. Man tana laha de tanu rabbanan. Who is the author of this braita? Nadar mi chamisha bnei adam keechad takes a neder to be oser b'ana five people at once. Hutar leechad mehem hutar kulan. If he's matir one of them, then hutru kulam. They're all mutarim. Chutz meechad mehem. If it's to the exclusion of one of them, hu mutar vein asurim. That individual is mutar and they are sutim. Il rabo. If Rabba's explanation is correct, then reisha Rabbi Akiva. The first statement is only Rabbi Akiva's statement. The Seifa Divrei Hakol. And the Seifa is a case of Divrei Hakol. Because the Seifa is a case where there is no shinui lashon. Because he switched from kuchem, basically, to kuchem chutz. That's mamid lashono. Mamid lashono, everybody agrees, is asur. And that's the second case. The first case where if or matir, one of them, where matir, all of them, that's a case of shinui lashon. He started out with kuchem, and then he switched to lezeh. Shinui lashon. According to Rabbi Akiva, that is mutar mitzato, mutar kulo, but not according to their abonon. Based on what we know from Rabbi's statement, we're backing into the answer, right? Ilu Rova, if it's Rova Shita, Seifa Rabbonon, the Seifa has got to be the Rabbonon, because according to Rabbi Akiva, in Rova Shita, there's no case where you have Mamid Lishono, except if he says the exact same Lishon. Well, that's obviously not the case over here. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's always Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo, no matter what you change. Whether you change from Kuchem to Kuchem Futz Mi'abo, or whether you change from Kuchem to Lezeh, 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 does not matter. In all those cases, Mutar, according to the Rosh, as long as you end off with Lezeh, 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 it's always Mutar. And even if you end off with Kuchem Futz Mi'abo, it's also Mutar, according to Rabbi Akiva. So in the latter case, where they remain as serene, then Hu Mutar Ve'en as serene, that's only the case according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Akiva never has a case like that. So that's gotta be authored by the Rabbanan. For Reisha, and the Reisha is a case of Divrei Akol, because the Reisha will be a case where he has a Shinui Lashon, where he started out with Kuchem, and he switched to Zeh Lezeh Lezeh, and there, according to Rava, everybody agrees that that's a case of Hutar Kulam, or according to the Rosh, if he ended off with the Lashon of Zeh Lezeh Lezeh, then everybody agrees that Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo. So that's the sugi over here. In terms of Halacha, who's the halacha like? So you actually have a clash of principles over here, which is that you have Rabbo and Rova arguing. Rabbo is Rova's Rebbe. So now we have a machloka between the Rebbe and the Talmid. Generally, we would paskin like the Rebbe. We'd paskin like the Rabbo. On the other hand, Rova is deemed a Batra. From Rova and onward, the Gemara uses a terminology that halacha ki Batra. That the halacha is like the latter Amoraim. That's based on a basic concept, which is that the later people come, they have a purview or perspective where they can see everything that came before them, and therefore their decision-making or their opinions have more power, not because they know more, but because they have more information to work with. And therefore their opinions carry more weight. And that's why we'll say the closing of the Rishonim period is the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch basically amalgamates all the Shitot before him and then tries to distill it down to a position. Now, he's not necessarily being in Chidushim, although he does sometimes in the Beit Yosef be Chidushim, but he's really an amalgamator of that which was before him. And then he closes the period of the Rishonim. Then we open up a new period of Achronim. You have early Achronim, and then you have later Achronim. You have the same thing, again, with early Amoraim versus later Amoraim. We're going to favor the later Amoraim because they have all the information of the early Amoraim. That only starts out from, I think, like the fifth, sixth generation of Amoraim in the time of Rova. That's when we call somebody a Batra. So you don't just say that if you have a first and second generation of Amora, that the second generation of Amora is a Batra. But Batra has really got to be in a period of time where they see a lot of years or a lot of generations of perspective. You got to be like fifth, sixth generation Rishon or fifth, sixth generation Amora before we can say Batra. But here, Rova is deemed a Batra, and therefore the Lacha should be like him. So you have a clash of principles that Huda Paskin likes. It really turns out to be a Safek. And since it's a safek, we're going to go the chumra like Rabba. Because by Nidorim, we are the chumra. So since it's the chumra, we're going to go the chumra with regards to the psak, v'chein pasak, Ramban zal. That's what the Ran says over here, that the Ramban went in this way. There are those that say, some people say that when you say mamid devarav, it's got to be exactly like the case of our Mishnah. That he didn't know that his father was amongst them. And therefore, since he is Mamid Dvarav with Chutz Mei, that's really considered to be Mamid Dvarav. But in a case where everybody was included at first, and then he gets had to write Nidareem for one of them, not by saying, oh, had I known it was Abba, it was a mistake from the first place. No, it's a case where he gets a Petach Neder, then it wouldn't work. Then in that case, when you get a heter from one of them, all of them go, because that clearly breaches the neder as a whole. You can only say, mamid dvarav, when you say kuchem, and then kuchem chutz mi'aba, because the original Kulchem didn't really cover Abba, and therefore the main Neder stays intact. But in a case where you take Kulchem, and then he gets a Terat Nedarim for one of them, nobody is saying that it means Kulchem except for that guy. No. He broke a piece of the Neder off. And by doing that, now, Hutar Miksato Hutar Kulo. So there is an opinion that this whole idea of Mamid Devarav is only relevant here in our case of the Mishnah, exactly the case of the Mishnah, where you find that information afterwards, which would have told you up front that it would have never made the Neder about this individual. Like, it's so obvious. Anan Sade, like Abba, his brother, it's very clear. But if you go back after the fact to get a Petach the Neder, it won't work that way. There's some that say that that's not Mamid Devarav, that would be considered the Shinoi Neder already. It's Miksad the Neder Zutar, Miksad Kulo. He says, that's not the sheet of the Ramban, ain't kind that, the Ramban Zal. But the Ran acknowledges that there is an opinion out there, and he says that I think that the Ramban is right over here. Uch Devarav nearly lachria. He says that I want a paskin like the Ramban over here. He goes through a long-winded explanation over this because of the fact that the Gemara parallels the Machlok between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan, and Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Which is that by paralleling those two cases, it shows you that it's irrespective of whether you said Chutz Me'aba or the case of Rabbi Akiva, which is about Shabbatot v'Yomim Tovim. Shabbatot and Yomim Tovim are definitely talking about a Petach L'Neder. The fact that the Gemara parallels those two Shitot of Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai and Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan shows you that they are indifferent between it's a Petach or whether it's Chutz Me'aba or it was Abba up front. And so that's how the Ran shows you that the Loch is like the Ramban, that it applies to all of those cases. He brings that alternate opinion that says that it only applies to the case of our Mishnah, then he goes out of his way to explain our whole Gemara is not overlapping the two Shitot, and saying that Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan's Machloket is independent of the Machloket of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai in the Mishnah. According to that opinion that says the cases are different. The case of the Mishnah is one case, and the case of Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan is a different case, and therefore you have to, the questions that are asked here, and you have to bifurcate the whole sugya based on if we're talking about Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, or we're talking about Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan. And he goes through the difficulties of why that's not such an easy way to explain the Gemara and why it's incorrect about explaining the Gemara that way. The other thing is that the Ran brings a machlokin between the Ramban and the Balei HaTosafot. Kadav o the Ramban zal dafilu b'mishnah dafka ben deneder shutar yidei petach. The case is only a case where either up front he knew that was Chutz Me'aba, that he was his father and it was a mistake up front, or in a case where he gets at Terat Nidarim, does that happen? Because then it's similar to Dinrei Kadud. If you use Charata, then it doesn't work. Because the way that Petach, the Neder, works is that basically I made a fundamental mistake when I took the Neder. And since I made a fundamental mistake, it's as if I'm unwinding the Neder. In that case, you can say, Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo. Because there, I'm really, like the case of Abba, where I would never have included him in the first place. So too, when you get a Petach the Neder, it basically is Oker the Neder mi Karo, and basically says that a part of the Neder was mistaken, completely. On the other hand, if you use the case of Charata, Ein Kol HaNeder Nitar, Mashu Mitcharid Bo Bilvad. If it's done on Charata, then Charata is not a mistake in the Neder in a sense, it's basically either bifurcating or saying, I regret a portion of the Neder, I don't regret this portion of the Neder. So he's not trying to unwind the entirety of the Neder. Now you could see arguing on the Ramban, and you could see that the Balei HaTosafot say, what are you talking about? Anytime that you get a Petach LeNeder, whether it's done on Yidei Petach or done on Yidei Charata, a Chacham is Oker Mi'Karo. It goes retroactively and eliminates it. And if that's the case, Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo. It doesn't matter the vehicle for that. Doesn't matter if it's regret, charata, if it's a petach, there's a real reason why you never meant to take the neder on this individual. In either case, hutar miksato, hutar kulo. And that's the sheet of the Balei HaTosafot. The Balei HaTosafot doesn't matter how you get the hatara of that portion of the neder, that once you hutar miksato, hutar kulo. According to Ramban, it's only in a case where it's like nidrei ta'ut, which is the case where it was your father, or it's a case of petach the neder, where it's like nidrei ta'ut, because there, basically you're saying, I didn't intend for this individual, I made a mistake in including this individual. But in the case of charata, where you regret, charata is not sufficient grounds for hutar miksato, hutar kulo, because charata, in a sense, and we have to say this, charata is really, in a sense, nolad. It's really something that's new. It's just, we're saying that, had I known this information, I would have regretted it back then. It's a much weaker form of petach le neder, and therefore the Ramban says the remainder of the neder stays intact. The Balei HaTosfot would say, no, that's still Utar Miksato, Utar Kulo, and is subject to that. Now obviously, in the case of Hafarat HaBal, or in the case of a Heter, of a Chelem, or a Nidui, in those cases, it would not be a case of Utar Miksato, Utar Kulo, because those are prospective changes in the nether. They are not retroactive changes in the nether. When a Baal comes in his Mayfair and he nullifies the nether, that's only prospectively. The nether was in effect till the time he was Mayfair. When he's Mayfair, prospectively he goes. So if he's Mayfair a portion of the nether, all he's saying is that a portion of the nether is not affected. But that means at the time of origin, the whole nether is intact and it remained intact. He just severed a part of the nether along the way. But that means the remainder of the nether is intact, and you can't say Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo in that case. Because there you're not Oker Mi Karo. And the same thing with Atzeret Techerim or Atzeret Nidoi. If they put a bunch of people into Techerim and Nidoi, and then they release one of them, that's a prospective release. That's not a retroactive release. Everybody was under the Techerim. Everybody was under the Nidoi. Prospectively, we're releasing one person. That doesn't mean that everybody else is automatically released. That everybody agrees to. Both the Balei HaTosfot and Ramban would agree in that case. When it is a prospective release, then in that instance, it's not Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo. Okay, we'll stop here by the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph.